Now, probably you know as well as I do that the Bible is a very serious book. It's a very solemn book. In fact, the Bible, in some ways, is like a legal document put in place by no less than our Maker and Creator, God. And in it, God carefully sets out what he requires of each one of us in this life, and not only in this life, but the life to come. Can't get more serious than that, can you? But I'm sure you know the Bible isn't just a list of thou shalt nots, or even thou shalt. The Bible's full of beautiful pictures, word pictures, that help us to understand the rules a bit more easily. And the divine master of those word pictures in the Bible was, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he often used these pictures as parables, just to show what he meant. Someone once described parables as earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Not a bad description, that's it. We're now going to look at one verse of those best known parables right now. If you want to turn to it, it's in Matthew's Gospel, Chapter 13 and verse 3. That's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 3. That's page 1162 in the Bibles we use here. Yep, but I'll show you all got it already. 1162. So the end of verse 3 says, "Behold, the sower went out to sow." Now, you must have heard that verse a few times before. But we can go on and read on more about this parable later on. Just stay with this verse. This verse, it's all about a farmer sowing seeds 2,000 years ago. Long before there was any of this wonderful state-of-the-art technology that we have today. He simply delved in a shoulder bag of seeds and scattered them around. You know the picture. And they scattered in different places. Now later on, Jesus explains the heavenly meaning of this verse. He says, the seed is a picture of the word of God. Okay? Right? And his kingdom. And when somebody reads the Bible in public, like I'm doing now, it's just like sowing seeds. Some people might have a problem with that right away. I hope you don't, but someone might be thinking, supposing there isn't a God, and supposing the Bible isn't his word. Well, of course, as a Christian, I would be here otherwise. I believe in God, and I accept the Bible as his inspired word. But now hear this. What I did earlier was to read that verse from the Bible, to you, and as I was reading it, a picture formed in my mind. And then as I spoke about it to you, my brain communicated with your brain, didn't it? And not just yours, but everyone else's in the room. I know it's obvious, but think just how I sent that picture to you. My brain made me cause me to use my vocal cords and make noises called words. Those words were sent out as sound waves into the air. And guess what? You've got just the right equipment in your ear to pick up those sound waves and send them to your brain. That wonderful biological computer. Then the miracle really does happen. Your brain transforms the sound waves back into the same picture that was in my brain. Hope you're still with me here. And while we're on the subject, by the way, the last time I spoke here, I mentioned the brain was made up of neurons, and I mentioned a number of neurons, but I got the figure far too low. Anyone know how many neurons the human brain is made up? Any clever clogs here? Yeah? Well, it's a massive 86 billion. How about that? 86 billion. You know what? That couldn't happen by accident, could it? Come on now. The divinely inspired book, the Bible, sometimes uses strong words. And quite justly so. For instance, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Just in the light of the miracle that I've just mentioned, a miracle of creation. You'd be a fool, wouldn't you? To think that there's no God and creator. Miracles like that just don't happen by accident, do they? You know, Charles Darwin, very clever man, in 1830-ish, he came out with this theory that everything happened by accident, and then the survival of the fittest made it develop into what we are today, from whatever. But do you know what? His theory, people quite believed him then, seemed convincing, but today, you see, scientists have discovered that the tiniest atom is so packed full of miraculous ingredients, some of them they still can't discover. I don't think his theories will hold much water today in that way. But anyway, let's go on and read the rest of the parable from the Word of God. So let's go to verse 3, where we were. And it says, and he spoke to them many things in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some grains fell along the way, and the birds came and fell them. And others fell on rocky places where they had not much earth. And immediately they sprung up out of the ground because of not having any depth of earth. But when the sun rose, they were burnt up because of not having any root, were dried up. And others fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Others fell upon good ground and produced fruit. 100, 160, 130. He that has ears to hear. Now, the Lord Jesus explains his parable, and we have to move to verse 18 to hear his explanation. Verse 18, Matthew 13, chapter 13. Right, verse 18. Ye, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. From everyone who hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it, the wicked one comes and catches away. What was sown in his heart, this is that sown by the wayside. But the he that is sown on rocky places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But has no root in himself, but is for a time only. And when tribulation or persecution happens on account of the word, is immediately offended. And he that is sown among the thorns, this is he who hears the word, and the anxious care of this life and the deceit of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that is sown upon the good ground, this is he who hears and understands the word, who bears fruit also, and produces 100, 160, 130. So in that reading, the Lord Jesus takes the picture of sowing the word a stage further. Yeah? What he's saying is that there'll be someone here tonight, not just you, who will hear God's word, but as soon as you walk out of that door, they'll be snatched away from them. Is that you tonight? Just like those birds that snatched up the seed from the pathway in the parable. Someone else here tonight will hear the word of God, but think, oh, far too hard for a person like me, and you resist from listening, and you hang on to it a bit. You may even be someone who hears the word of God tonight and hangs on to it, but then a few problems turn up, maybe about school, home, work, finances. Then the word gets choked, smothered by the cares of this world. And you lose the blessing that could be yours. Last of all, Someone here tonight will be like the good ground, actually prepared by God himself, by the Holy Spirit, to receive what he's saying to you personally tonight. I wonder if you've got an open mind about that, and you could be seriously thinking it through. Prepared. Yes, God prepares us. And most of us know the best way to guarantee any seeds to grow is to prepare the ground first. And as we know, that's why farmers prepare their fields by ploughing up the soil to soften up to take the seeds. And gardeners break their backs digging over the soil to prepare. I've done a bit of that. So, your God and Creator prepares your heart. That's what you're doing tonight. Prepares your heart, softening it up towards him by his Holy Spirit to receive his word and respond. Are you responding? Are you responding to God tonight, who's speaking to you personally by his Holy Spirit? Anna, it's not always an easy experience being prepared by God in your life. Especially when the hardness of your heart against him needs to be softened. Perhaps you're a bit hard-hearted towards God more than you need to be. Perhaps your experience of life is making you feel that way. You might be finding, for instance, that you're not as in control of your life as you thought you were. However, because you make things look to other people, I wonder if that's you tonight. In fact, just the opposite. You may realise that you're on the wrong pathway in life. In which case, of course you need to get on the right pathway before it's too late. Let me remind you again what your Maker and Creator declares in his word. You've heard this before from this platform, I'm sure. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah, we all have in our own way. That's an accurate picture of you and me. Could be more accurate. And that's the root of your problem. If ever there was one, that's the root of your problem. We've all offended our Maker and Creator by the lives we lead. And only you will know how you're doing that in your life. And you may realise tonight that there's no way that you yourself can put things right. And you've got to turn to God tonight and accept his answer. Do you reckon you could do that? If you want your life to be on the right track and find answers to those blinding problems of what happens after this life and things like that, the answer's there from God. Also, if you want to be sure, of course, about your life when you die, after you die, without ever having to worry about it again, how about that? If you recognise that any of this is you tonight, then this is the word of God for you tonight. You must be prepared to accept that the Lord Jesus himself took the burden of your sins upon himself. Yeah, you know that. I'm sure you know this as well as I do. And he dealt with them on the cross of Calvary forever for you. That's the price he paid to set you free. Tonight and forever. Want to be set free? Believe and receive. That's what you need to do. I'm not saying that to make that sounding too easy, because of course we human beings, we've got a lot of pride, haven't we? Oh, sorry about touching that. We've got a lot of pride, haven't we? It's harder to accept that we've got things wrong so far. Not easy. Not easy for any of us. But if you believe and receive the Lord Jesus into your life, you'll have the joy of knowing that he rose from the dead for you. And he's here. The Lord Jesus is here tonight with us. As clearly and as in much reality as he was when he's with his disciples. Remember, he was with his disciples in an upper room. They had that very emotional time together when they had to tell him that he had to go to the cross for them. He was in their midst, but he's in our midst tonight. And he's telling you that to look back, that he went to the cross for you. He did it for you. And what do you want to do for him? Think about it. Believe and receive. There's even more to it than that. This word of God tells us that we should have real life before we die and after we die. Because the Lord Jesus has promised that he came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So, you know, a born-again Christian isn't someone who's a sort of religious weirdo who absolutely, you know, doesn't do this, that and the other. It's a human being, but filled with the new life within, an abundant life. That's why eternity is a reality. Because it's there within you, the reality of it's there within you. It's not something that you hope for or wish for after you die. It begins now and here in this place. So, hang on to these glorious promises from God that you've heard tonight. Don't let them get snatched away from you. Don't let them smothered by the cares of this life. Don't prevent them from taking root. Decide to confess that you really are a sinner tonight. Is that really so hard for you? Decide to accept God's answer from his word. And that's all I have to say on the subject.